Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
All right, welcome back to another conversation here on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. This is Sid and Jeremy, and we are wrapping up a three-part conversation on these critical faith-shaping tasks. So before we jump into things, of course, my name is Jeremy. If we haven't met before, it is wonderful to meet in this way. I put my email in the show notes. So let's chat. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk ministry. If you've got questions you want us to wrestle with, you can certainly let me know. And then I've got Sid. Sid, how are you doing today?
Come on. So good, bro. First of all, Jerry, you and I get to be on this podcast together, which is always awesome. I'm always a little nervous, right? Because you're always forcing me to like get like right onto the very ground, practically, what does this mean for like the volunteer youth worker? And I'm like, Jerry, I haven't really thought about it at that level. Like, I'm like, this is a great idea. I think they can totally work that out. So I always get a little nervous. Going to get the push, but that's good.
It's
making me work.
The push comes, yeah. But and if you're newer to this podcast, so you guys know, the reason that we're doing this is we recognize there's tons of great resources for youth pastors, for people running ministries, leadership podcasts, all that kind of stuff. There's tons of great stuff out there. And we love youth pastors. You like youth pastors, right, Sid?
Oh, do I love youth pastors? M1, Jer, we are youth pastors.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we recognize that, yes, most ministries are run by volunteers. And right. Then all ministries that are doing significant amount of work with teenagers, deeply, deeply, deeply require the work of volunteers. And so if you are volunteering in youth ministry, you're exactly who we want to talk to. And because you probably have got 1,000 other things going on in your world other than just thinking about youth ministry every day and reading all the books on it, we're going to try and make this as practical as possible for you. That's the reason, Sid. You got to make it practical for them.
Bro, correct and right answer. And by the way, let me just say this about our volunteers too. In a healthy youth ministry, you're positioned in the most significant role with kids. Most significant relational role with kids. And so we just want to say to you, whatever we can do to help you steward that role to do like good kingdom work in the lives of those kids, we just want to come alongside and be a part of that. And then Jared, the other thing is not only are we youth pastors, but we're also volunteers. I mean, dude, so my son is going to be doing an apprenticeship in a church, and he's already come to us, said, you got to be my volunteers, which pray for our family. That could be more than interesting and also exciting to be able to do that with him. So Jared, let's get after this. I love it.
Let's do it. Okay. So ultimately, youth workers, we know that we're trying to draw students closer to Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do that, but we get to play a role in it, which is always shocking and surprising. But as we're drawing students towards Jesus, helping them build that faith in him, we recognize that there are some critical tasks that help root that faith over the long haul so that we've got teenagers who are following Jesus that turn into young adults that follow Jesus, that turn into adults that follow Jesus, that turn into seniors that follow Jesus. And you won't know if they're following Jesus in their 80s, but you will kind of know, right?
I'm going to know pretty soon, bro. Hey, by the way, I turned 50 this year, Jer. I'm almost at my seniors discount at Denny's. That's my line, by the way. That's my gig, 55, baby. So I know, like I'm close to knowing that already. How good
have you gone back to your Sunday school teacher then that invested in your life when you were,
whoa,
yeah, and said, hey, it's long-term, it's worked out, I'm still sticking with it.
That's Mrs. Wolf, by the way, and yeah, she was awesome. And not only was she my volunteer Sunday school teacher, she was also our teacher at our public school. And what I remember about Mrs. Wolf is she was so serious about faith and serious about us and serious about us following Jesus. She's wonderful. By the way, I just heard from my sister. She's still teaching and doing her thing. Like, it's crazy. And she's, I don't know how old she is. She's got to be 70s plus 80s maybe. Yeah. So you're right, Jer. I'm going to have to do a reach back on that. Mrs. Wolf, if you're listening to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast right now, game changer.
Sid's still following Jesus. We'll keep praying for him so that he goes the distance. But we're thinking he's going to make it.
We feel good about the journey.
Let's go to these tasks. So if you got last episode, you can catch the first three, which were experiencing, categorizing, and choosing. And we're going to crush out these last four and give you some really practical ideas on how to implement these tasks in particular, how they help you think a little differently about your ministry. So let's go to task number four, which is claiming. What do we mean by claiming? What do you mean by claiming? thanks, Sid.
So when I'm thinking about claiming, I'm just thinking about deciding what I'm going to be true to. So we've already come to a point where we go, hey, I think that's true. I believe that's true. Then the question is, okay, am I going to be true to that? Is this going to be what my life is actually about? And really it's coming to commitment moments, Jaron. And I used to, like, I really do believe that our relationship with Jesus is this wonderful journey. There's ups and there's downs. There's moments of like, real intense faithfulness and like really wonderfully experiencing intimacy with Jesus. And there's times when it's harder. We have to recommit, those sorts of things. But here's the point. We want to have moments in our ministry where actually kids do have the opportunity to claim and say, okay, this is what I'm giving my life to. This is what I am going to be about. And I think there's a lot of different really practical ways to do it, Jer. I think retreats are awesome. I don't think it's like, I think one of my fears sometimes when it came to like the Saturday night, quote unquote, altar call experience was I wondered, hey, is this just like emotionalism? Is this moment going to change everything? Is this all it's about? But these moments add up. They are a part of the opportunity for kids to go, hey, I'm gonna claim this. This is what I'm going to be true to and I'm in. And I think we need to have those moments. We need to have retreats where we do that. We need to take them to conferences where they have an opportunity to do that, where they're out of their ordinary rhythms. They get to process these ideas and these thoughts. I think camp is one of these beautiful places where we get to invite kids to say, hey, let this be, make your life different in terms of what you're choosing to do when it comes to following Jesus. In fact, just this morning, Jer, I'm sitting on my deck with a group of our young staff here at camp. We had staff meeting. We said, and we talked specifically about, hey, this isn't just about how you live at camp. Will you be true to this way of being when you leave here from camp, even if it's going to be hard? We got to have these moments.
Okay, let me just maybe offer, is there a little bit of a distinction here between choosing, so making those decisions, making sure our students have opportunities to choose to follow Jesus. This is a decision that I make. So that's maybe camp, campfire, that kind of thing. Is claiming a bit more of when the decision actually is, makes other decisions in their own life. What I mean by that is there's this, you know, this quote, we first make our habits and then our habits make us. Mm-hmm. So we first perhaps choose Christ at some level, and depending on your theology, you know, obviously the work of the Holy Spirit's drawing you to Him.
Yeah.
But then that decision forms other parts of our life and world. Is that Absolutely. Kind of what claiming is about?
Yeah. And I think what it is actually, yeah, Jer, and it's actually going like really specifically, what parts of my life does this truth actually affect?
Yeah.
So for instance, is this going to change who I date? Is this going to change how I function on my social media platforms? Is this going to change, you know, the spiritual disciplines, what I'm getting into my mind? So I think it becomes very practical for kids to say, hey, I'm going to live differently. And it can be about specific areas. And Jared, this is the other thing too, when we talk about ways to, you know, that's why claiming is constantly ongoing. It's not just this one big moment I'm giving my life, but it's actually specifically, this is how it's going to work or work itself out in my life. And that's where a volunteer youth worker who's meeting with kids on a weekly basis, you know, you'll see them in different seasons and there'll be different issues that Jesus is going to want to work in their life. And then you get to invite them to say, okay, like, how are you going to apply your life to this truth in this specific area of your life? And we need to continue to invite them into those spaces.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting thing with that invitation. I also wonder if there's chances for us as youth workers to almost point out when it's happening in our students.
Yes.
Because I'm guessing they don't always see it.
No, and the other thing about it is, I think that's really great, Jer, is it's never just that moment, right? That moment of claiming allows us then to come back, to do accountability, to journey with, to help them see the outcomes of it. And I think especially because sometimes we're so emotionally driven that when our emotions don't seem to line up with that moment, we wonder, you know, if that moment has any hold on us or shape, you know, shaping power. And we get to say, oh yeah, this is where I see it. I see how you're different now. I see how you're functioning different, even though, you know, it may not feel the same as it did when you were back in that space. So I think like our role as leaders is not just simply creating the opportunity, but like you said, having the ability to actually like observe and declare what we see God doing, even when they don't see it, and then following up and continuing to like follow up and process with them as they move beyond those moments as well.
Yeah. So maybe some moments as small group leaders, you know, when you're in the conversation that possibly you got to be careful. This is not meant to be a manipulative conversation. So you have to be cautious about this, but maybe, you know, that new kid that's kind of on the fringe, but they're leaning in and they either on the front end of their faith journey and all of a sudden their conscience starts dinging them. So, you know, you do highs and lows from the last week and all of a sudden their lows are related to, you know, behaviors or decisions that they made that they're now regretting that maybe they wouldn't have regretted weeks ago. And you can point that out. You can say, hey, you know, welcome to the Spirit working in our hearts and life. Like, I'm noticing that in you. And in some ways, it's probably a good celebration for the student to recognize what's actually going on in them. Versus when you've got like a church kid, somebody that has been following Jesus for maybe a little bit longer, and then you go into some highs and lows, and maybe they're sharing a celebration on like, hey, I got a chance to be in somebody's corner this week, or there's a kid at my school who's getting bullied, and I got a chance to kind of look out for him. And you can celebrate and recognize that, hey, did you notice how maybe God was actually allowing you to participate in his work in your school in that way? Let me just make sure that we don't lose the sight of that, because we want to celebrate it so that you can kind of recognize you're a different person because of who you're following and you're the Jesus that is Lord of your life. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's so good. And Jer, I do think, and I just say this, like, I think youth workers, we wonder sometimes, you know, should we be direct? Should we like actually make that clear invitation? Should we maybe confront that behavior and invite our kids into a different way of being? And I just want to say, yes, absolutely we should. Not only should we, but God calls us to be those kind of people as Christians with each other. And I think you're uniquely positioned to do that with a young person. And we just want to say, please keep taking those moments. Like, as you see them, that's such a wonderful responsibility and opportunity you've been given. I think, Jared, the other thing that I wonder, and we were talking about this again with a group of leaders yesterday, is that sometimes we know there's areas of our lives that we need to see change. And so we maybe feel like hypocrites in terms of inviting others. And I would just say again, this is the way of the Christian on this side of eternity. We're always going to feel like a bit of a hypocrite, but if we're open, we're honest, we're humble, then we should continue to be a part of that journey with others and invite others in to help us make good decisions about our faith and how it practically works itself out in the way we live on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so claiming, that's a task, helping students claim maybe even this identity in Christ, but claiming this Jesus as their own and how it affects their decisions and their day-to-day. Let's go to number five, which is deepening. What's deepening?
Yeah, just really quick, deepening. Now we're going, like we're not just settling with surface answers. We're not afraid of the hard questions at this point in time. We're willing to like sit in some of the gray with our students. We, you know, there might be questions that can't be answered with a simple answer, but it's journeying together over time. So I think about that. I think about like, you know, starting to wrestle with some of the harder questions, starting to not be afraid of those things and really kind of go deeper. So, you know, some of the general questions we all wrestle with, like, man, how can a good, powerful, loving God allow there to be evil in our world? What do we do with that? And so we sit with kids in that and we journey with them. But it's not just that. The deepening is also when we're calling kids in terms of responding to their claiming, what it might look like for them to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Jesus. So some of the hardships that their choice to follow Jesus might actually entail and how we actually are with them through those hardships, not necessarily trying to just remove them from hardship, but actually being with them, supporting them, speaking truth to them, giving them a vision what the future will look like as they faithfully follow Jesus, even when it's really hard. And then also the third part is working with them in the midst of their doubts. So there's going to be ups and downs, and we're okay with doubts. Doubts are actually God's grace that give us the opportunity to go deeper, that become a motivator to going deeper. And so we want to continue to be there. Now, I think, Jared, what's sometimes hard for us as volunteers is when our kids are going deeper, it forces us to go deeper. And we might feel a little bit insecure because we don't have all the answers or we're not as sure when we start wrestling in that space. And I would just say again, I think this is where being a leader is such a gift of God's grace to us, because it, you know, it's not only about what God does through us to our students, but what he's doing to us through our students. I think that's a wonderful part of our role, and we should just embrace that.
Yeah. And I would say that this is oftentimes the thing that we easily pass over as volunteers, because the deepening work is a little bit more challenging to wrestle with when you've got a kid that's like completely unchurched, they're brand new. You're like, oh, this is the front side of faith. You kind of can understand what the path looks like. But when you've got, again, a kid that maybe has been following Jesus for a few years, it's hard to know what is their next spiritual step? Where is God actually working in their life? It kind of requires a bit more understanding nuance, asking questions, but it's good work to be able to do that because we want to help all of our students in our small group discover how they can grow in their journey towards Jesus this coming year.
Jared, let me just angle that just a little bit differently too. I think that sometimes when it comes to working with kids, we think a lot about kids, like you said, who are just exploring faith or new to our youth ministry, and we're really intentional with them, and we should be. We think about kids who are in crisis that are struggling, and we should be really intentional with them as well, but we don't often think about the kids who actually want to grow and who maybe have some foundations there. But I want to say to our youth leaders, be intentional with them as well. They need someone who's older that's modeling faith and loving them and listening to them and asking hard questions to continue to help them go deeper in their faith journey as well. And I just think that don't ignore that. Lean in. And it's actually, those are life-giving experiences for us as well when we get to see kind of like the fruit of the labor, if you will, when you're journeying with the kids. So I think we should lean in that space.
I love that. Okay. So we got claiming, we got deepening, and then there are last two. So we're at number six, and this one is separating. What do you mean by separating?
Yeah, real quick. Well, here's what I think about what we're talking about here. And it's, this one's a little bit more nuanced. Generally speaking, it happens between kids and their parents, where as they move into middle and late adolescence, they begin to differentiate. So what I mean by that is it's this journey of faith becoming their own, where it's not affiliative faith. So because they're affiliated with their parents, that's their faith. That's what happens to a child. But now as they get older, it's like, oh, is this actually my faith? And there seems to be this process that happens with kids where they start kind of like leaving maybe some of the common practices that their families do together. Maybe they all go to the same church together. Maybe they do these same, kind of disciplines together. And they start kind of pushing away from some of those things. And oftentimes they'll push into like peer-based communities where they're known more by their first name than their last name. And it's in this space where they can begin to like develop their own identity and begin to own it. And also their faith becomes their own. But that journey of kind of separating and pushing away can be really scary, especially for parents. Now, the biggest win is when, they might be in this time of pushing a little bit from their parents' practices, but they're pushing into your small group. And of course, you share the values of their family. Then it's awesome. Like now you're supporting what's happened there and you're building off that great foundation. But it can also be like a bit of a pushing away from maybe even your small group or your church where they're going, okay, I need some space to figure out if this is what I actually believe, if this is actually going to be my identity, if you will. And I think, Jer, we can sometimes see this as a loss of faith, but I don't think we should assume that. I think we should see this as, again, a stage in creating the potential for real deep owned faith. And I think our responsibility as a leader when we see this is to continue to be relationally available and continue to move to being relationally present, even as that young person, might kind of be pulling away a little bit emotionally, that we should continue to be present and with them as much as we can. And that's probably our key responsibility in that part of a journey where kids are trying to figure out how to make this thing their own.
Yeah, I think there's just naturally this big jump from when you are in high school, you have commitments that you have to make. You have to go to school. If your parents are committing you to your church, you have those rhythms. And so what happens after the fact is that if you move to a new city or a new place, you're forming all of these brand new rhythms and you're kind of renegotiating each of them at all the different times. And if you can offer, I think, as a volunteer youth worker, some better stepping stones in those later years, like grade 11 and 12, it kind of tests the waters. So when we did research, we found like if students serve at a summer camp, that's massive for their long-term faith, but because they're expressing their own unique, faith journey in community apart from their family and apart from, that rhythm, and they're testing that. So that's good. So they kind of understand how to do that going forward. I saw a youth ministry do it once where even with grade 11, 12s, and sometimes even younger, but if the small group leader couldn't make it, or sometimes intentionally the small group leader would disengage and make the peers themselves host their own small group. The idea that you don't have a replacement leader come in or a substitute leader come in for grade 11 and 12 students, you just let themselves peer communicate and be in community with one another, because that's what we're going to ask them to do in just a few short months. So why don't you let them test on that here on this front end? And you know, whether or not that works is, I guess, dependent on the context and the setup.
You know, that's a good point, Jared. The journey of separating isn't just like disengaging from positive practice towards negative practices. It can be sometimes exploring different types of faith practices, other levels of leadership, like you said, maybe wrestling through some theological positions that are different from your parents or other people in your life to try to figure out what you actually believe there as well. So it doesn't just have to be like kind of a movement away. It can also be an exploration of other elements or angles or ways of thinking about faith. And again, it's healthy. We shouldn't be afraid of that journey.
That's good. And then lastly, responding. What's responding?
And I just think when I think about responding, this is where there's like a rootedness in faith and you're starting to really think about, hey, what does this mean now for the rest of my life? Like, how does my faith decisions affect vocation? How does it affect like education? How does it affect permanent relationships like marriage? What difference does my faith mean in terms of who I am as an adult? That's really what we're looking at, or how we think about our future. And again, you know, we're building foundations for this all along. We're talking about these things all along, but certainly there is this stage of life when kids are moving out of high school into college where this is just like, these are the issues they're directly processing and wrestling with. And I think, again, we sometimes think that our job is finished with an adolescent when they're maybe done our program in high school or whatever. But if we can continue to, like, I don't know if I'd use the language of leverage the trust that we've built over these years to really help them as they start thinking about, okay, what does this actually mean for the rest of my life and the most important decisions that I'm going to be making? That's another just incredible opportunity we have that's really rich when it comes to working with our kids. So again, thinking about like gifts and skills and calling, thinking about like what that means as far as education goes, thinking about what that means as far as like where you live or where you plant for these next number of years and all those things. This has been great at camp, Jer. I just had one of our leaders come to me and she just goes, hey, I wonder if maybe God, you know, could call me to camp ministry for my life. You know, she's heading towards being a teacher. And I'm like, oh, those are big decisions you're making as a student who's finished high school and moving towards college. And she's trying to wrestle through her gifts and her skills and you know, what her faith, what this actually means for her vocation and these next number of really important years. And it's a real privilege to be in that space. Jer, what I wrestle with is I want to be very careful that I don't become the calling, like the voice of God in her life. But what I can do is help her clarify some of the questions she needs to answer, help her see options and understand what can actually, like, what are the decisions she makes now that can open the most opportunities and doors for her down the road. So that's another, what a different, when you think about this journey, Jer, what a different stage of life to be with a young person than when they're like in junior high, just getting going. Like stuff we're dealing with there and the stuff we get to deal with now are such radically different issues, but what a privilege again to be with them.
Yep. I love it. Okay. So 7 faith shaping tasks. Based on the work of Stephen Jones, grateful for all of that. And we believe that, hey, if you think through these tasks, this helps root that long-term faith in students and will help you contextualize and come up with new ideas for your ministry as you look forward to this next ministry season that you're in. So 1 to 7, experiencing, categorizing, choosing, claiming, deepening, separating, and responding. Before we let people go, any final words from you, Sid?
No, again, I just, you know, when I look at this list here, I just think about how significant our role is with students. And if we can remain present over, you know, a number of years, how powerful of an effect we can have in their lives. So thanks so much for what you do, youth workers. You literally make an eternal difference. You literally are shaping lives. And we just want to say thank you so much for that work.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. And we'll see you back here next time for another conversation on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast.